welcome back to It's an Inside Job podcast. I'm your host, Jason Lim. Now, this podcast is dedicated to helping you to help yourself and others to become more mentally and emotionally resilient so you can be better at bouncing back from life's inevitable setbacks. Now, on It's an Inside Job, we decode the science and stories of resilience into practical advice, skills, and strategies that you can use to impact your life and those around you. Now, with that said, let's slip into the stream. Well, welcome back, dear listener. It is the last week of September, and as we transition from summer into autumn, I am still a little flabbergasted that we're actually headed into fall. You know, the month of October is the month of the Halloween and pumpkins and the changing of the colors of the leaves and such. It's actually one of my favorite months. Anyways, this week I am joined by a gentleman named Tiro Isikopula. Now, Tiro, he's originally from Finland, but he lives in the States now. Well, Tiro's launching is actually his new book. It's called Healing Adaptogens, The Definite Guide to Using Super Herbs and Mushrooms for Your Body's Restoration, Defense, and Performance. Now, the time of this recording is September 26th, and his book will actually be launched tomorrow, September 27th. So we are 24 hours before that launch, and I am privileged to have Tiro with me today. Now, I will go into his bio in a second, but Tiro, I wanted him on the show because when we're talking about sense of resilience and well-being and facing adversity, part of that mosaic, part of that picture is talking about nutrition. The science of nutrition has just exploded, and the idea that food is medicine is so important to take on board, to understand the dynamics of what that actually means. Because when we talk about the gut microbiome, when we're talking about that 70, if not 80% of our immune system is based in our gut, in our large colon, that those bacteria and fungi and those microorganisms that form that microbiome and what we feed it, well, it has direct repercussions on our health in so many different ways. And so Tiro is going to be talking about something called adaptogens. Now, you're thinking, what is an adaptogen? Well, I had the same question running through my head when I read the cover of the book. But I found the conversation to be fascinating and enlightening, just like his book. So who is Tiro? So Tiro, he's the founder and CEO of 4Sigmatic. Now, it's a company that's a functional food company that wants to make the world's most studied and nutrient-dense foods more delicious and easier to consume to bring healthy upgrades, not only to the Americans where he lives, but I think the world in general. Now, as I said earlier, Tiro's roots are in Finland, where he grew up growing and foraging natural foods on his 13th generation family's farm. Now, Tiro later earned a degree in chemistry and business and a certificate in plant-based nutrition at Cornell University. And in 2012, Tiro founded 4Sigmatic with the dream of bringing a little everyday magic to the lives of all. He's an expert in all things related to nutrition, health, and wellness. He is also the author of two previous best-selling books, Healing Mushrooms, an educative cookbook from Avery Publishing, and Santa Sold Shrooms, a children's book for adults about the magical origins of Santa Claus. I really like that title. It's the best title ever. Now, Tiro was chosen twice as one of the world's top 50 food activists by the Academy of Culinary Nutrition and has appeared in Time, Forbes, BuzzFeed, Vogue, Playboy, GQ, Harper's, and a host of other different magazines. Well, I feel very fortunate to have Tiro with me here today to share his knowledge and his experience. So let's slip into the stream and meet Tiro Isikopula. Hey Tiro, glad you could join me today. I was wondering if we could begin, maybe you could tell us who you are and what you're about.
Yeah, so I'm originally from Finland. I'm a 13th generation family farmer. And I originally studied chemistry and nutrition. And I started with natural products very early on. My dad is an agronomist. My mom taught physiology and anatomy. And then our farm is in near Nokia, Finland. So it was always like a trifecta of technology, agriculture, and health and wellness. And that's kind of what my life has been. And then there's been this draw towards mushrooms that was unplanned. And about 15 years ago, I discovered a rare mushroom, won an innovation award for it. And then the last 10 years, I've been operating a health and wellness company called Four Sigmatic that specializes in mushrooms and adaptogens that are natural substances that help people with top physical performance. So that's kind of in brief. And I've lived in 10 countries and currently living in Austin, Texas, most of the year.
I was just wondering, I was curious about Four Sigmatic, the name. Does that have anything to do with distribution curves and statistics and such?
Exactly. It's probably one of the worst brand names one can make, but it also explains how geeky we are. So growing up and learning about obviously nutrition, dietary supplements, my big passion was always how nature can heal nature, and particularly these herbalism and these superfoods. But I also felt that there was a lot of like shady marketing around them. So I always thought, like, what would be something that would be perennial, something that would last decades and decades and hundreds of years. And I thought of, like, through mathematics, that the world's most nutrient-dense foods will never go out of style. There's always a place for the world's most nutrient-dense food. So Four Sigmatic basically means that if you take all the foods in the world and you compare them against their nutrient density, you, like in any sciences, including natural sciences, will form a bell curve or normal distribution of some sort. And then every standard deviation from the mean is called a sigma. So yeah. Mm-hmm. So then that would mean basically only like 100 foods in the world would qualify as Four Sigmatic.
Yeah. And I think that's very interesting because that's where we're going to focus today, because you've just released a book or will be releasing a book called Healing Adaptogens. And I've never actually heard of adaptogens before as a term. So I was very curious when, you know, when we were able to set up this conversation. And I'd like to kind of dive into that, because for the last couple of years, I've been very focused on nutrition, because the focus of this podcast, Hiro, is about helping people to build resilience. I started this back in January as a way of helping people to find, to build mental, emotional, physical resilience after the bloody COVID. Now, we are far beyond that. And so it's also focused on well-being. And part of that mosaic, part of that picture is nutrition. And I find your take on things very fascinating, because I think it adds so much to that that mosaic, that picture of resilience. So I was wondering, maybe we could start just with the basics and you could define, oh, actually, before we get into that, this is more of a curiosity question.
Sure.
You had a dedication, there were three dedications, and the one was on intergalactic spores in your book. I was wondering, was that related to the science of panspermia or the idea of? I wasn't too sure.
Oh, I'm so funny that you took it up. Yes, it is related to panspermia, or at least the concept that we know for sure to be true, that fungi, which are the kingdom where mushrooms grow out of, fungi have been found in every level of atmosphere, and they've been found in their kind of immobile seed form, which is a spore. So yeah, basically, like, if you think of fungi compared them to plants, it's like the spore is the seed and that grows the roots, which is the mycelium, and then the flower or the fruit comes out, which is the actual mushroom. So the spore format has been found in outer space. So I like to think that fungi have had an impact on either panspermia or a softer way, that some other ways they've impacted our culture. And there's some knowledge. And to me, it's funny because I'm both woo and I'm science, similar to Four Sigmatic. And yeah, they actually, they connect in a lot of words. So if you meet someone who's a really natural oriented and they talk about the universe and energy, and if you meet a top particle physicist from CERN, they will also talk about the universe and particles. And I think they're closer to each other than they like to admit.
Yeah, they have different nomenclature, but they're pretty much talking about the same map terrain. Now, I was just curious, just for our audience, panspermia is the theory that Earth or planets, the whole life here could have started from spores coming from asteroids slamming or meteorites slamming into the Earth. whatever, 4 billion years ago and such. So sorry about that. That was a little digression, but I just thought that just kind of triggered my nerdy.
Yeah. I mean, you already caught the normal distribution and panspermia. So that's not pretty much no podcast or people I talk to in real life.
Okay.
Kudos to you for both of catching those weird facts.
Thanks for that, Hiro. So healing adaptogens. As I said, adaptogens is a word I've heard about it, but it hasn't really crossed my mental radar per se. I was wondering for our audience if you could define adaptogens for us.
Yeah, adaptogens are natural substances that help you adapt to stress. The word is about 7 years old. It has very clear criteria, and only a few dozen foods today in the world that we know of qualify as adaptogens. But these foods have been used for thousands of years. So even though the term is only about 7 years old, the foods themselves have been used for hundreds, if not thousands of years. So the story of adaptogens is coming from the Soviet military. And like the Soviet, almost every military in the world, including the Finnish, will drug soldiers when needed. So if you're a fighter pilot, you crash, you're going to take amphetamine and try to run as far as you can. But there's a letdown in performance. So if you take stimulants, whatever stimulants or sedatives to go to sleep, there will be a downside. So there's a group of doctors in the Soviet that were trying to find, is there a way to boost human performance without the letdown next day? And that's how they discovered these natural substances that will do that. And then the criteria is threefold. So to be an adaptogen is super simple, but again, only a few dozen qualify. One is that they need to be safe, non-toxic, non-habit-forming. So it means that they can be products that are addictive in any way, and that you could take them every single day of the year, which is not common. So there's a lot of amazing herbs, anywhere from hops to garlic to whatever, that you shouldn't take every day, even though they're good for your body seasonally. Dandelion. Other one is that they're non-specific, which is often where you kind of lose a lot of, especially Western people. But non-specific means they impact the 11 systems of our body. So the digestive system, the hormonal system, or circulatory system, they impact body systems, and therefore they impact multiple parts of the body. And then finally, they restore balance. So they have this weird gas and brake effect, which nature has, that sometimes also confuse people. They have an ability to give you energy when needed, but also calm you when you need that. And some of the more famous ones would be ginseng or turmeric. These might be some that most people have heard. But then there's other compounds that were used for thousands of years and have many hundreds of research papers on their effects, but a lot of people don't know about them. But they're definitely catching on the health and wellness and in the entrepreneur, personal improvement worlds.
Sure, because when you're talking about balance, you're talking specifically about homeostasis, and it's based on all these different sort of systems we have: circulatory, gastrointestinal, neuroendocrine, and such. And so to drive into that, that's part of what I'd like to explore with you, because I think these adaptogens are very interesting.
I mean, what you're bringing a point about homeostasis is accurate. So if you're not familiar, the body is constantly trying to reach a certain balance. And it's a little bit of an illusion in both physically, mentally, and spiritually. It's a little bit of an illusion of balance because we're always teetering. So there are stressors, and those stressors are good or bad. So they're distress and eustress. And those stressors give our body a signal like, hey, do this to get back closer to balance. And these adaptogens give you a better buffer to do that. So as one example, take one of these adaptogens called cordyceps. Cordyceps has an ability to increase VO2 max, so maximum oxygen intake, and your ATP production, which is your ability for your cells to produce energy. So let's assume you suddenly have and these are tested many times, but let's say you take 12% more oxygen in your lungs. That 12% oxygen in your lungs will give you so much more buffer to handle stress. So now you go to the airport and your flight is canceled, Your blood pressure goes up and your heart rate goes up. But by having more oxygen in your lungs, you can stay closer to a level of balance. So that would be an example of how, yeah, how they work.
So homeostasis also, you know, just to help, that's about breathing, blood pressure, core temperature, and such like that. And there's always trying to find that sort of happy balance. This is what the brain is doing. So it's not tipping too much or tilting too much on one side or the other. You know, over the last couple of years, there's been a huge focus on the microbiome sort of in the colon and such. And this is the link that I find. There was many links, but one of the major links that I found very interesting is how adaptogens act as a prebiotic. And just to for my audience to understand, prebiotics are sort of the food for the mitochondria that produces what you said, the ATP, the adenosine triphosphate, the energy, the currency for our body and such. How important are adaptogens? I mean, are all the adaptogens you speak about linked to prebiotics?
No, would be the short answer, because they're a pretty diverse group. Many of them are. So there's some of the adaptogens are fungi, some of them are roots, some of them are leaves, some of them are fruits. So there's a little bit of variety. Pretty much all of them have fiber, but not every fiber truly works as a solid prebiotic. But I think the most interesting for the microbiome is actually with the fungi. So some of the adaptogens are fungi, and fungi as a kingdom is, well, pretty much wherever you'll find bacteria in nature, you'll find fungi. And where you find fungi, you find bacteria. So we actually, in our body, we also have a microbiome, micro referring to mushrooms. Mm-hmm. And in our gut, we have, you want it or not, and in our skin, we will have mushrooms or fungi on our skin and in our gut. Mm-hmm. And either they're good quality or bad quality, either they're in balance or they're out of balance. And that has an impact on our gut health. So, so by consuming these good fungi, you're actually improving your micro and microbiome, and therefore through the vagus nerve and the whole thing, your brain health, immune response improve. And there's many, 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 many interesting studies in this. Immunity seems to be the main focus that people focus on with that. But there is, like, as for example, a rodent study that I find very interesting, where they gave all the rodents, the control and the test group, the same kind of high fat, low carb diet and the same amount of exercise. But they gave the test group reishi mushroom extracts, and that the test discovered that their gut improved so much that they started losing weight and performing better by improved gut health. You actually gained muscle and got leaner. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of weird. Is like their body is such a symphony that if you improve your gut health, suddenly you can gain more muscle. Because it's just like your body recovers better, you sleep better, and so on and so forth.
In your book, you've focused specifically on 21 different types of adaptogens, and you've categorized them as defend, perform, and restore. As the defend, that, as I understand it, is for our immune system and our GI tract, the gastrointestinal. The perform was for the circulatory, or our respiration, or our breathing. Mm-hmm. And third one I found really interesting was the neurological or the endocrine system, where it's about restore. I was wondering, could you describe each of these defend, perform, and restore systems?
Yeah. First of all, I want to say that adaptogens are not sniper rifles. They are more of like a shotgun approach to health by improving core body functions. And they literally, you could take any of these adaptogens, even the ones that are better for the defend, which is both immunity, but also skin, because skin is our largest organ, first barrier against pathogens. So people look at the skin as just aesthetic, but it's only one of like 10 core functions skin has. You could take, let's say, Eleuthera, which is known as Siberian ginseng, which is amazing for immunity and protection, but it also has multiple studies on cognitive function and stress response. So I just want to say I created these categories to help a beginner navigate the complexity that might come by reading scientific literature, and it can be overwhelming at first. But to kind of go back to the question, these defend adaptogens, that are really, really good for usually through the gut health, but through eliciting some sort of immunomodulatory response, so activating cytokines, natural killer cells, in a way that's not stimulating or suppressing. So there are things that suppress immunity, there's things that stimulate immunity, these modulate immunity. Same with the skin, either forms of really high amounts of vitamin C or certain antioxidants, they protect not just the skin and you have a good skin, but actually they should protect your body, because stressors are unavoidable in today's world. And actually, to be anti-fragile to what you're preaching, you don't want to avoid them. You want them to be your training system so that when you face them, you're ready for them. The perform ones, they do are a lot about the circulatory system, but also through that, like your cognitive focus and like things that improve brain health. And then the restore ones, they are a lot about the endocrine system, because a lot of the, particularly like the HPA axis, particularly impacts our quality of sleep. And through that, the stress impacts our longevity, because one of the more common theories on longevity is related to stress, and how much stress you face in your life has a direct impact on how long you live and what life quality. So I don't know if that answered your question, but
yeah, you articulated quite well. But just for clarity's sake, the HP axis referring to the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis, which is our body's response to stress. Or in other words, the F3 response, the fight, flight, freeze response to threat or potential dangers. And so as I understand it, as you've classified it, and again, it's for beginners such as myself, it's to defend, perform, and restore. And the defend is to build resilience for future stress, as I've taken from your book. Perform is to adapt when faced with acute stress in the here and now, perhaps like missing running to a plane or what have you, or maybe even working out or running. And the restore is to actually recover from stress when...
Exactly.
In the second part of the conversation, Teodoro goes deeper into what adaptogens are. And he talks about how they're amazing in the sense that they're both ancient and modern, where modern being it's validated by contemporary science, and ancient that it has a long history of thousands of years of use. We also dive into one specific adaptogen, chaga, which is a functional mushroom, and the amazing benefits of this little mushroom and how it can help us in so many ways. And for us newbies to the whole world of functional mushrooms and adaptogens, we talk about a very easy way to move into and to migrate into using these adaptogens. So I hope you enjoy the second part.
The idea is that the main enemy we face, or one of the main enemies we face, is the overwhelming demands of modern day life. And what's beautiful about adaptogens is that they're both ancient and modern. They're validated by modern science, but they have long history of use for thousands of years. And just, you know, not having stressors and not avoiding modern day life seems pretty impossible in today's world. So the idea is you will face stress, and these categories are trying to help you guide, like, hey, like in the morning before you face those stressors, whatever they might, defend and prepare yourself to that. And then the perform is, like you said, when you're actively engaged and facing stress. And then the restore is like, hey, you need to recover so that you can start to cycle again. And so, yes, it's exactly like you listed.
And so, you know, as you said, you're from Finland. I'm from Canada, and I live in Norway. And one of the adaptogens, or the defend adaptogens, as you've categorized, was the chaga mushroom. And that grows off the birch trees, or dying birch trees. I can't remember exactly where they grow. But like the chaga, that's one of the most readily available here in Scandinavia that you can get. When we take chaga, I mean, could you explain a little about the benefits of chaga just to kind of find one of these adaptogens and just explore it a little just for our audience and for myself too?
Yeah, there's a few that grow in Norway and in the Nordic countries. Chaga is one of them. Rhodiola is another one. We can talk about them. I actually have a lot of funny stories about chaga in Norway because Norway tried to ban chaga. And I have some funny stories on how we made it possible that it's legal in Norway today.
Okay, I didn't know that.
We can go to that story. It's almost 10 years ago when that happened. But so chaga is a perennial mushroom fungi. It's a very unique mushroom. It grows over 15 to 20 years almost as a parasite to a birch tree that is already dying. So birch tree is also a sacred food. So birch is used in many different forms, from whipping yourself in sauna and getting the oils through your skin. It's the bark is used, the ash is used, but this fungus will slowly grow out of this drying birch tree. And then you can take it. It looks very hard, like cyst type of thing. And then you boil it into a coffee-like drink, which is completely black and was used as a coffee substitute in Finland during Second World War, but it is completely caffeine free. It has a very earthy, like coffee-like flavor. And the benefits after Second World War, particularly in the University of Helsinki, they started studying, like, well, people felt so great. And there's this history, particularly from Russia and Scandinavia, of using chaga through our ancestors. So what are the benefits? So then after the Second World War, modern science started figuring out, and they found out a few things. First of all, it's incredibly high in antioxidants, particularly these black colored pigments that are known to be for longevity. So black foods tend to be longevity foods. So dark chocolate, chaga, coffee, black olives, black sesame seeds. These are foods that are used around the world for longevity. And particularly it's high in melanin. It's the highest source of melanin in all natural foods. Melanin is a powerful antioxidant, not just for the skin, but also to protect the body from many other things. SOD, superoxide dismutase, which is known as like the super antioxidant. Mm. So, and then it's very high in these certain polysaccharides. So these might be difficult words and you might be listening. So why would I care about melanin, SOD, or beta-D-glucans? Well, what usually happens when people start taking chaga is, first of all, their gut feels way better. It's used for all kinds of digestive issues. So if you have digestive issues, you start feeling amazing. Second thing you'll start noticing is skin. Is you start to notice within 30 days, people usually like skin improves. Mm-hmm. And then third, few months in, especially in the winter, they're like, I haven't gotten sick and everybody around me have a seasonal flu or cough or something. Like, I feel great. And that it happens through this microbiome, but also strengthening the immune system in a safe, two-directional way. And then people start noticing amazing feelings makes them feel kind of like a superhero. But yeah, generally it's used for things like gut health, immunity, skin.
It has broad benefits across a lot of the systems that we've been talking about and such. I was wondering, you know, chaga, you can go and pick it in the forest and such, but most people such as myself are a little lazy and it's to go to the nutrition store and you can get it in an extract, sort of in a liquid form, or you can get it in sort of a tablet form or a capsule form. From your expertise, Tito, what is the best way to ingest chaga?
Definitely not raw, because you'll benefit nothing. So most of these adaptogens, with a couple of exceptions, require some sort of processing. So our ancestors would have brewed tea or broth or soup. And it's because the fungi particularly have this structure called chitin, which is the same cellular wall structure you find in a lobster shell or shell of a shrimp. And we can digest that. So you have to cook it. It's called a decoction. You cook it, in the case of chaga, many hours on a slow brim, And then there's, if you take the herbs, the ginsengs, the ashwagandhas, the rhodiolas, there's either an alcohol extraction of a tincture or some sort of hot water extraction. So you need to prepare them in one way, or you could go to the natural product store and buy someone who's already done that for you. And then you can ingest it in a capsule format, a tea format, a liquid format. All of those formats should have been pre-extracted for you, so they're bioavailable. I personally think you should taste your medicine or taste your food and chew it. And there's impact on enzymes, and there's an impact on also your palate and your gut health. So I generally, when I buy capsules, I still open them. But if your palate is not used to these flavors and you're a little sensitive and your palate is still adjusted more to the standard Western sugary flavors, then capsules might be an easy way to start. But generally, I would recommend consuming them in form of tea or coffee or some sort of liquid.
And just, and back to chaga and such, is this something you take daily over months or years?
Yeah. So the good news, so this one starting point is Western people eat very few foods. Let's just start there. And there's some say 14, 15 varieties in a whole year an average Western person eats. I think it's a little more than that, but still not that many. And if you look at indigenous cultures or even ancestors few generations ago, they might have eaten 400 to 500. So I'm constantly taking different things. I think for both gut health and for general health, diversity is important. But adaptogens are those things that I take year-round. So I cycle liver detoxifiers at certain time of the year and this and that on the other time of the year. But adaptogens are all the time in rotation. Do I take every adaptogen every day? No. Do I take chaga 365 days of the year? No, but it's very close. It's one of those things. The reishi, the ashwagandha, the chaga, and preferably like Schisandra are those things that I want to take close to every day. And the reason being is the body systems again. Certain body systems heal themselves faster than others. So anyway, every day our cells reproduce. And then certain things reproduce really slowly, like eyes, heart, brain, spine. Those take years, maybe a decade to heal. Then you have the kind of medium length, including your gut health. So if you have gut issues, it might take many months. Skin will take 30 days or under, depending on your age. So depending on the system, how quickly energy production, like mitochondria, can be a day. You can have an impact of mitochondria in 15 minutes. So depends on the system. So in my case, I take chaga a lot for immunity and gut health. And those I know are things that you need to fuel, if not every day, almost every day, to have a strong immunity, to have a good gut. But if I want to take something to boost energy in a workout or think smarter, let's say mucuna, which is another adaptogen, which I love, I don't take mucuna every day. It's more of like slightly more targeted part of my routine. It's when I need to like really focus or I want to like have a specific task. But chaga, I do take pretty religiously almost every day of the year.
Yeah, because in the book, as you said, you've clustered three or four of these adaptogens, these top 21 adaptogens, but you've clustered them just for simple sake here as defend, perform, and restore. Now, is there a particular time if someone should take a defend antigen adaptogen during the day, or when to take a perform or a restore? Are there particular sort of parts of the day we should focus on, or that you would?
Well, the thing is, you have to first audit your life. So I think the challenges I find what people today is two part is one is that they think 12 months of the year, their schedule is every day the same versus humans have evolutionarily lived in very seasonal lives. Some seasons being more physically active, some seasons being less physically active, hot, cold, yada, yada, yada. And I think we've forgotten that. I think there's a lot of value in living seasonally, and we're trying to have one size fits all strategy. And then the other part is trying to figure out like what works for most people, trying to work that for yourself. So I would first ask, when do you face stressors, positive or negative? And that can be exercise, or that could be an angry email from someone, and then designing around that using the model. But generally, for most people, the defend is your morning. Like, you're starting your day. So that is your morning coffee. That is your smoothie. That is like before you get going. Mm-hmm. The perform is through midday, during the day, maybe after the natural energy, kind of you have that slump in the afternoon. That would be a great time after lunch, you know, between 12 and 3 p.m. when you could benefit from them. And then the restore is usually at night. And that is like after 6 p.m. as you're starting your evening routine to calm down your body, calm down your nervous system, calm down your stressors so that your body can naturally start to get ready for bed.
Well, thanks for that, because I think that also creates a little bit of it simplifies the manual of how, if people want to integrate adaptogens, which I highly recommend after reading your book, and I highly suggest reading your book, and I'll have all the links. But for those who are starting out down this area of functional mushrooms and these super foods or plants and such, if you had to recommend for someone just starting out in each of these categories of defend, perform, and restore, which adaptogen would you recommend for each of these categories that our listeners could start just experimenting with and see how it works for them?
Yeah, for sure. Well, first of all, I would say, again, try to make it easy for you. Like, health and wellness should be fun and easy. And the reason there being compliance, the old rule, the number one rule of herbalism is compliance. If you don't eat it, you're not going to benefit from it. Similar to exercise, if you're not going to walk, you're not going to benefit from it. If you don't read a book, like if you buy all the books and put them on your bookshelf and never read them, you're not going to probably
you'll look smart, but nothing's inside. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So to me, both with myself and I coach professional athletes and whatnot, I start with compliance because I believe a lot in stacking of goodness, and you want to get a momentum. So I would look at your day. And for most people, that means you start the day with coffee. Love it or not, coffee, it actually has a lot of positive health benefits, particularly for brain health. There's interesting studies on preventing Parkinson and Alzheimer's. Again, tons of longevity studies, but it has two major negatives. One, it gives people jitters. The other one, it has digestive distress. So a lot of people have uncomfortable feelings from consuming coffee, particularly out of the acidity of it. So I would just use chaga with your coffee. So chaga and coffee would be a way how you give your body all these antioxidants, give your gut the preparation for the day. So I think chaga is a very, very interesting adaptogen to start with. There's many others I love, but that might be it. During the day, when you want energy and if you've never felt adaptogens, I think something like a cordyceps, which is, it's quite noticeable because, again, talking about the body systems, if you're trying to heal your brain, you're on for a many, many year journey, because that's how slowly you can get nutrients to the brain and how it reforms. But if you want to get energy and feel the benefit, something like a cordyceps would be quite, quite awesome because you feel it quite immediately. You could put it in a pre-workout or to a smoothie. Let's say you replace a heavy lunch or between meals, you have a protein smoothie and you could put some cordyceps in and you could feel it. I think that would be interesting. Have energy very naturally by improving oxygen intake. And in the evening, I would say ashwagandha. That and reishi are, like, in general, like, out of these three categories,
yeah,
I would say most people will be drawn to the perform. Some people want the coffee because it sounds fun, but what most people need is the recovery, the restore. And I would say the two adaptogens I think everybody should be on is ashwagandha, which is like the top Indian herb. It's a root. And then reishi mushroom, which is known as the queen of all mushrooms. And to me, reishi and ashwagandha in the evening. And if you can sleep better, trust me, everything in your life will get better. Like, you're stacking odds in your favor if you can recover. And that's usually, like, energy products sell many times more than sleep and recovery products, but we probably need the sleep and recovery products more.
I completely concur with that. Sleep is everything. If you're not getting restorative sleep, you know, everything else is going to, your attention, your ability to think and your cognition all drops. And, you know, in this, the ability to have resilience, mental or emotional or physical, mm-hmm. it drops. If we can just come back to perform, you said cordyceps. Forgive my ignorance, but what exactly is a cordycep?
Yeah, it's a very unique group of species. There's actually quite a few of them, and it's a more of an exception than a rule, but it's a parasitic fungus. So technically it's in the fungi kingdom, but it really gets its energy from living parasitically. And there's this funny BBC documentary where these cordyceps ants take over, cordyceps takes over ant colonies and makes them like zombies. Like, don't be afraid. They're super safe for humans. They were discovered in the Himalayas when the Sherpas were super tired, and they started observing the yaks, which are the large mammals, kind of like ox type animals that would carry things for them. And they started eating these cordyceps fungi, and they had this burst of energy, and they were giddy even though they were high in altitude and they spent a whole day working hard. So it's a parasitic fungus that is completely safe, but it is an interesting family, and it has very noticeable results to the body. That would be one.
So these, the rishi, the chaga, and the cordyceps, for example, and the ashwanda, hopefully I said that correctly, these can be bought as supplements or as extracts where people can add to their tea or to their coffee. Is that what I understand?
Yeah, it's improved quite a bit. even like, I mean, I started on this journey when I was like yay high as a kid, but actively I've been working with the adaptogens 20-ish years. And I remember like ordering them, let's say 15 years ago, from shady websites or trying to grow them myself or whatever. And and I go fast forward to today, and anywhere around the world, you can find them added into all kinds of products, like protein bars. You see them in smoothie mixes. Okay. You get them in ready-made drinks. Again, some of the more common ones are like raw cacao and turmeric that I mentioned as adaptogens. Yes. Those can be bought in grocery stores. You can buy real cacao or fresh like turmeric powder that you can then include in your cooking. So they come in many forms. Most people don't see them fresh or in the wild,
no,
which is a little bit sad. Mm. So often they're bought in, most commonly, in some sort of powder format that has been made bioavailable with this extraction. So it could be powder in a capsule, powder in a protein, powder in something else, just because that's probably most suited for busy modern day individuals.
Yeah, it's just convenient.
Have your coffee, have your capsule, and on you go, right?
Well, in the final part of our conversation, Tiro and I talk about other superfoods such as broccoli sprouts and algae, specific chlorella and spirulina, and how they are nutrient-dense foods. We also talk about the relationship of fasting and feasting to adaptogens and to these superfoods. We also talked about the principle of hormesis. Now, hormesis, for you, just as a reminder, it's when we consciously stress our bodies. We put ourselves under adversity in order to strengthen ourselves. That may be a cold shower, that may be fasting, that may be training, running, lifting weights, whatever it is, a sauna. You know, the Finns love their saunas. But we talk about hormetic stressors and how adaptogens can help our bodies bounce back to become even stronger. Well, let's slip into the stream and hear the final part of our conversation. If we could just shift the conversation, you know, I've been reading a lot about, for example, I guess they may be considered adaptogens, sort of like broccoli sprouts or certain algae like chlorella. I think chlorella and spirulina.
Yeah, chlorella.
Can I, since I have you here face to face, what is your take on those things, broccoli sprouts and algae per se, as adaptogens?
So broccoli sprouts are one of the healthiest things you could eat. They're amazing for brain and longevity. Chlorella or any form of freshwater algae that also includes AFA, spirulina, are some of the most nutrient-dense foods in the world. They're like the true for sigmatic foods. And there's already like from spirulina, I think on the 60s, WHO said that it will be a cure for world hunger because it's so cheap and so easy to grow and has all this amount, crazy amounts of protein, for example. But maybe the difference between a superfood, which I recommend people to take, like a chlorella, and an adaptogen, let's say a real ginseng, the big difference is macronutrients, micronutrients, and then even smaller compounds that improve our system. So a lot of these superfoods, let's say spirulina, have high amounts of macronutrients or really nutrient-dense forms of macronutrients and micronutrients. What then adaptogens have is even smaller plant or fungi compounds that impact the systems like the endocrine system. So if you take chlorella, you wouldn't have an impact on your endocrine system. What you would get is high amounts of chlorophyll, high amounts of protein, high amounts of vitamins and minerals, which you should take. And I particularly think chlorella is very interesting because of its kind of heavy metal removing detoxifying qualities. And I can recommend sprouting as a super inexpensive, like if you're unemployed, you have no money, you're like, I can't live healthy, sprouting. Like everybody can afford to sprout. Like everybody can afford to sprout.
I completely concur with that.
And it's such an easy way to, if you make your own sprouts, it's so simple, it takes almost little to no effort. And then every day on top of a meal, put a little bit of sprouts, and then you can rotate different sprouts. So you don't, I wouldn't do broccoli sprouts every day, to be honest. Like I would cycle them in and out.
Yes. Well, that's great advice. I was wondering, part of nutrition and a focus on adaptogens and the microbiome was also this relationship between fasting and feasting. And a lot of the times we see time and time again, hundreds of studies talking about how feasting can benefit because it allows the mitochondria to heal and to replicate and such. And because generating ATP is very damaging to these, you know, these energy little machines, thousands of bacteria in our cells. I was wondering, when it comes to the adaptogens, are there some like chaga you can take with your coffee that won't destroy your, if you're on a, whatever, a 12 or a 16 or 18 hour fast? I mean, are some of these adaptogens can take that don't spoil or break up the fasting period?
Yes and no, depending on what is your fasting. So there is, you could fast anything. You could fast of all carbohydrates, you could fast without water. You could, like, that happens. So there's many kinds of fast, and that's used pretty universally. But how most people define fast is you have zero caloric intake.
Yes.
Now, that's not only way to fast. Mm. So for example, most people in a fast allow coffee and tea. But if we're completely honest, even if coffee that has no calories will have these various lipids and compounds in a micro amount that don't impact your blood sugar, but will put your liver to work. So what is your goal of fasting? How do you define fasting? If your goal is more around creating the starvation evolutionary response that body has, yes, you can have almost every adaptogen because they will have less than one calorie. They will have like 0.2 kilocalories. So the extracts you take are very small amounts. It's usually like something like 500 to 1000 milligrams, so 0.5 to 1 grams. And out of that, maybe somewhere 20 to 30% of that amount, so, you know, let's say 100 to 200 milligrams, is very complex carbohydrates that actually balance blood sugar. Don't spike it. They're used for people who have, let's say, diabetes. So if you're fasting, you could have a mushroom coffee with ashwagandha in it. You could have chaga, ashwagandha coffee. You'll be totally fine. But again, the question I would ask, how do you define fasting, or what is the objective of your fasting? And if you do allow black coffee, black tea without pretty much sugar or anything in your fast, then adaptogens and mushrooms are fine. If you're doing a water fast, then you're doing a water fast. There's really nothing else you take. So
Sure. Well, thank you. I mean, the way you've articulated it is very clear. So it depends on the individual and his or her goals as to the fasting.
But they basically have under one calorie, and they basically have no calories similar to coffee. Because coffee technically does have micro amounts of calories, but it's less than one. So you really like if you're using fasting as a way to like starve your body and teach your body to eat, you take two jumps up and down and you burn that more than the calorie that you got from the coffee. So in most cases, it has no impact on your blood sugar, and you can track that with the continuous blood glucose monitor, and you'll notice there'll be no impact.
And then that's what I found really interesting about your description, Tito. I think you articulated the science quite well. I like the science part of the book, and I think it's very well written. And anyone who's very skeptical or very a critical thinker, they'll get 100% enjoyment out of this book because it's science-based. I want to kind of to look at some of the specifics. Like, what I really liked about it, how you described adaptogens, how it helps us to adapt to different types of stress. So it allows our body to sort of mellow out that sort of sine curve that it goes through up and down in homeostasis. But when it comes to hormesis, when we stress our bodies and such, whether it's through cold showers or through training or through breathing or what have you, but the adaptogens, and even in those cases, will help the body to recover or to mellow out some of those curves. Is that what I understood, just to connect the dots here?
Yeah, correct. So so stress is going to happen either through positively or negatively, and this will not prevent you from having stress, taking adaptogens. But what you will do is give you buffer during and after the stress. And those, particularly those restore adaptogens, are amazing on helping recover after getting hit by various stressors. So absolutely helps with that recovery. So, you know, an exercise, you call that super compensation. So you break down muscle tissue. Immediately after breaking muscle tissue, you're actually weaker. You're a worse version of yourself. But what you try to do is, okay, then you have, you rest, you take a protein shake, whatever, heal. And then you have super compensation where your baseline is now higher than it was pre-exercising, and you're stronger. But temporarily, right after exercise, you are actually a weaker version of yourself. And weirdly, this is how nutrition as well works. And, you know, including some of these adaptogens, they are like a hormetic stressor to your body. So, for example, in the gut health case, they kind of like irritate the body just enough to trigger an evolutionary response that then makes the body be stronger. It gives the body a signal. Take the turmeric. The active compound in turmeric is curcumin, which is often combined with black pepper and its main active compound, piperine. The peppers and the spices that you take, including black pepper and turmeric, they actually irritate the body. So if you've ever had a hot pepper, you know, or whatever, and it actually irritates the body. But it does, it's a micro irritation. It's a micro irritation that then gets you. So there was most of my 20s, I didn't drink any alcohol, but like any young person, I wanted to go out and have fun and enjoy myself. I didn't want to be home and get stuck. So I would take really hot cayenne pepper in my mouth. I would suffer for 3 minutes-ish.
Yeah.
I would be absolutely miserable. But what happens is because of the pain response from the pepper, your brain will release all these feel-good hormones to make you not in pain. Well, the pain will go away in 3 minutes, but those feel-good mood-enhancing neurotransmitters, I would have an body and mind high for hours. And that's an extreme version, because that's an extreme young male trying to do extreme. you can make a hot chocolate that has also some of these mood enhancing compounds, and you can make using cacao and put a little bit of vanilla and cayenne into it. So you get a little bit of that vasodilation, expansion of blood vessels, a little bit of brain neurotransmitters. So you can use these. Also, they are hormetic stressors. And so hormetic stressors are, you know, stressors that then make your body stronger.
Yes.
And it can be used through a cold shower and exercise, but also through adaptogens.
And I think that's fascinating, because I'm a person who doesn't drink alcohol myself. And so I don't know if I'll go the cayenne pepper. I think I'll keep to my daily cold showers. But that would be good for some of the listeners. I'm just wondering, I'm just respectful of your time, Tito. I just have some questions. You know, supplements and extracts can be, they can be expensive for some people, and some people are working on a limited budget. And I saw some of the adaptogens in your book, such as goji berries and ginseng and kakao. These are readily available in most stores. So goji berries, I was just wondering if I could just focus on a couple of these. Can you eat them dry? I mean, do you get the same benefits from dry goji berries as fresh goji berries? Or is it better to buy it in an extract because it's so concentrated?
Yeah, some of the berries are a little more sensitive versus the roots and mushrooms that are more sturdy. So the fresh one would have higher amounts of, let's say, vitamin C. But a lot of the more adaptogenic properties found in such as goji berries will remain even if they're dried. I personally like to put the dried goji berries into my tea. So it helps extract some of the polysaccharides a little better. So I sometimes snack with them if I'm like hungry, but to get their benefit, I would put them in soups or
That's interesting.
Do your daily tea and sprinkle a few of them on. They will soak the hot liquid. That's called an infusion, kind of like infusion is like a softer extraction for softer things like berries. So that's a form I like to use goji berries.
Oh, that's interesting. And ginseng, I mean, ginseng is readily available. It's quite inexpensive. I mean, is that where you can just sort of slice the ginseng into sort of small coins and then dip it into hot water and still get the same effects from the adaptogens or the benefits? I mean, what's your recommendation when it comes to ginseng?
If you're not familiar with herbalism, I would just buy an extract. And honestly, like if you can spend a dollar a day or 10 krona a day, you can get a blend of 10 of the best adaptogens. That's the easiest. But if you would have dried ginseng, it is a root, so it's a little sturdy on the goji berries. So you need a little more time, extraction time. So I would cut it into small slices that creates more surface. So think of like cooking a carrot. If you drop the whole carrot in a hot pot, it's going to take a longer time to cook. Versus if you slice the carrot, you create more surface area for the water to break down the carrot. So in this case, no different. You slice the ginseng, and you're probably going to need to cook it a little longer than the goji berry. So that would be like a soup or a little longer time.
Okay.
But there are ways, like if you're on a budget and you can't afford $1 a day or 10 krona a day, you can grow gynosema, which is an amazing leaf, pretty much anywhere on your balcony in a little bit of sunlight, super inexpensive seeds. You can find turkey tail, which is another adaptogen, pretty much anywhere around the world in the wild. And it's the safest and easiest mushrooms to forage. So I absolutely don't think money is going to be an issue. And I'm not even bringing up the fact of like, hey, U.S. spends the most amount of money on healthcare and life expectancy is not that great. So there's a lot of things like the saying is, are you going to pay the farmer or are you going to pay the doctor? And I would encourage a lot of people to consider is like, if you can't get a dollar a day for your health and wellness, I would question priorities in most cases. But if it's truly true that you can't afford a dollar a day, I would look into sprouts, foraging your own food and growing your own food on your balcony. That is totally doable and possible, even if you're not an expert.
Totally. And one last thing, when it comes to cacao, if people are into dark chocolate, what kind of percentage of dark chocolate should they buy, if, you know, to get that benefits? And how much should they eat the sort of the dark chocolate on a daily basis? If it's a daily basis.
I would absolutely never, ever, never, ever do anything under 65. You probably want to be over 80. That being said, the big question becomes, what is the other 20-30%?
Exactly.
So back in the day, when you had only these brands like Swiss Chocolate Lindt, I would go for 80 or even 100. But today, there are better and better brands that have where the remaining 20-30% is not processed white sugar, but it could be things like coconut milk powder or things like that, so which are a lot better for you. So then you can kind of go down a little bit on the percentages. But generally, I would say if you're in a store, 70-80%. Ideally, make your own. Just buy it. It's cheaper. You can buy your own cacao butter. You can buy a cacao powder. Start making your own chocolate. It's really fun. It's also a great activity with your family, friends, kids. Like, making chocolate is always a hit. And then you can make your own chocolate. So if someone wants to put sea salt, put sea salt. Somebody wants to put ginger, put ginger. Somebody wants to put orange peel, put orange peel. But you make the same base. Everybody can make their own chocolate. It's a great, fun social activity as well. But if you're in a store, never ever under 65, ideally 70, 80, and then look at what's the remaining. And really what you want to avoid is milk powder and processed sugar. Those are, but you could have things like, again, coconut, even honey, if it's raw honey. These are much better things for your body than processed white sugar.
Well, thank you very much for your time, Tito. I really appreciate it. I was wondering, is there any last advice or message you would like to leave with our listeners today?
No, this is a beautiful conversation. Obviously, I would say, related to adaptogens or health in general, is that there's a lot of, like, the industry is probably for economic purposes very competitive, and there's a lot of debates. It can get very confusing if you're early in a health journey or later in a health journey. You're like, should I eat meat, not eat meat? Should I be high carb, low carb, this and that? Mushrooms good for you, bad for you? Like, and it can get very confusing very quickly. And instead, I would focus on things that everybody agrees on, and focus on things where they're both proven by modern science, but have also been used for multiple generations and time-worn. Those are things like a cold exposure, good sleep, water and hydration, but also these fungi and adaptogens. So I would recommend you, wherever you're in your health journey, to tune out some of the noise that is very like, not this, not that, but focus on things that are universally true and have been proven by both modern and ancient ways. And you're probably going to get 80% of the benefits or more by focusing on those things versus getting into this constant debating that happens in health and wellness. And through that, it just creates more confusion for most people.
Well, I think that's a great place to wrap up, Tito. Again, I appreciate your time, and I appreciate you sharing your knowledge, your wisdom, and your experience. I will leave all the contact details and definitely a link to your book in the show notes. So thank you for your time today, Tito.
Thanks, Jason.
Well, folks, that was Tito Isacopola. He is the author of Healing Adaptogens, the definite guide to using super herbs and mushrooms for your body's restoration, defense, and performance. Again, Tito, thanks again for spending some time and your generosity of sharing your wisdom and your knowledge and your experience. You know, adaptogens, folks, is something that I've taken on readily in these functional mushrooms. It takes time to think about these things and how to adapt them into our nutritional plan. But as we talked about at the top of this episode, food is medicine. In Tiro's book, he identifies 21 of these top adaptogens. And as we talked about, he clustered them into defend, perform, and restore. And, you know, this could have easily been a four-hour podcast. I had lots of questions to ask the man. But It couldn't be. So I highly recommend, if you are focused on nutrition, building resilience, and having a sense of well-being all around, pick up this guy's book. Tiro's book is a great book. It's a great read, and it's easily adaptable. You don't have to take on all 21 adaptogens. Find three or four, the ones he recommends, or something that works for you. And see after 30 days how you feel. Because I've done this, and it's made a big difference for me. And just before I close out, I'd like to send a big thank you to all the people at Stanton Company, you know, who put me into contact with all these great authors and celebrities and personalities. You know, that's Jenna, Nicole, Dana, Belen, and Deanna, and the rest of you I haven't mentioned. So a big thank you to Stanton Company out in LA. Appreciate it, guys. Anyways, folks, that brings us to an end of another episode. We are at the tail end again. Anyways, until next week, keep well, keep strong, and we'll speak soon. Oh.